Merry Christmas.
Hey, who are you impersonating? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, yes. The wonderful holidays are upon us, or they were upon us, and they'll be upon us again next week.
And happy holidays. Well, this is actually the beginning of, not Hanukkah, what's the other one? Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
And the first day of Kwanzaa. Oh, wait. No, that's a different... Well, completely
different. Different show.
Yeah, different show.
Oh, I think it's hot.
That's very hot.
Ooh, I'll have to back up the mic a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I'll just turn it down.
Well, you could do that, and then I'd slap you.
So, it's the first day.
Told you.
No! Why?
No, actually, I thought a lot better, thanks.
It's the first day of Kwanzaa today. But, yeah, so there's a whole bunch of holidays going on.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of them all. I just try to, I just do what my parents say.
Right.
It makes it a lot simpler. I just kind of like just jump through the hoops.
Get naked, howl at the moon. Yeah.
Usual Christmas at the Lambert house.
Yeah.
Sean's supposed to be calling in here. We're just going to be kind of like.
This is, of course, Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Well, hi, Will. Hi, Scott L.
Will's sounding hot tonight, too.
I know.
Will is, he is sounding hot.
Yeah.
We got some equipment upgrades here, a little bit, and we're just all like.
Right.
Hi,
well,
I'm
you know
Scott.
What we did. We purchased some dirt freaking cheap microphones,
and they're nice backups.
Right, and it makes the rest of the equipment sound really, really good. So it's like, whoa, this is awesome. It's like being at a.
We're not ready to admit we got screwed just yet. We're waiting.
Ghostly Talk is, of course, performed at the Haunted Basement Studios in beautiful Fraser, Michigan. Beautiful, freezing cold Fraser, Michigan.
Yes.
Though the weather. Will change. It is, after all, Michigan. And speaking of weather, one of the hottest things that's happening is not really weather-related, but it's that humongous earthquake going on.
Yeah, well, you were talking about that in the code.
And I know that people do surf into the Ghostly Talk website from the Asia-Pacific Rim.
Uh-huh.
So I do want to say to all you guys, you know, hey,
hold on.
In there. Yeah,
grab something solid and don't let go.
Because, man, and...
I said the death toll was up to like 8,600 people.
Oh, man.
That sucks. I mean, it really does suck. I mean, Mother Nature's sometimes, you know, and...
Powerful.
And it was the worst earthquake on the Earth.
Ever recorded.
Well, then they said within the past 40 years.
Right.
There was one in Alaska.
Where did it register?
Oh, okay.
Where did it register?
I don't remember.
I think it was somewhere close to a 9, if not a 9.
That's sick.
The one in Alaska was a 9.2 40 years ago.
Wow. So,
yeah.
This was, of course, you know,
especially during the
people, it was, people were affected.
Yeah.
It was mainly tsunamis that do most of the damage.
So,
well, they're getting it all, then.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
that's
yeah.
What happened.
It's like the apocalypse there right now. That one little
tsunamis hit 7 countries.
Oh, my God.
So, you guys hang in.
Hang in, yeah, man.
When you're dried out and safe and sound,
tune back in.
So, but I did want to say also that Ghostly Talk is broadcast on the Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo.net on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes, sir.
Which, of course, includes the day after Christmas, which is today.
And we're working, we should be getting double time for this right now. Well, what do you do on the day after Christmas anyways? You just lay around and be fat because you chowed down the day before and the day before that too, probably.
But that's not what we did.
No, we worked.
We actually got some stuff done, didn't we?
We had a very, I don't want to say it was a very busy day, it was like a very busy 45 minutes. It felt like a day. It was planned out originally to be a day.
To be an entire afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, and it just worked out so... like I told Will when he walked in today, I mean, it worked out better than good.
I know.
It just worked out so well. And, I mean, we might as well spill the beans on this because everybody knows what we've all been chattering about it anyways. We actually went and made our first step today, kind of in the plan. After the show last week, we all met at... We met at Coney down the street from the Haunted Basement Studios here and started talking about working on an ITC project, kind of similar to what World ITC is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, you know, trying our own approaches, too. We're just going to kind of leave it open to discussion to whatever we're going to do. But we actually went out today, and the plan was last week, we're going to hit flea markets, right? And we're going to find old, beat-up
analog
radios, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did. Things never seem to work out the way we talk about them on this show. Like when we do a project,
I'm absolutely shocked that step one
it went well.
went so incredibly well.
It went well.
It went well.
I thought we were going to walk in there and not find anything. Like, oh, God. I mean, the place was open. Right. That was a good sign right there. I'm thinking, I was going to follow it up and, like, call them, actually. And mm-hmm. I was like, whatever. It's just down the street anyways, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, God, these people are closed. I'm going to feel like a complete moron. We pull up, and they were open. I'm like, sweet. They're open. Okay,
not
that's
bad.
A good sign
that's
right
a
there.
Big bonus right there.
And we walk into the
well,
joint.
Well, the alternative would be to drive up to Mount Clemens and go to Gibraltar, but...
Yeah, well, that
didn't have to do that.
No, it was 5 minutes away from us. We walked in there and just started dawdling around, trying to find old radios. And God, did we find them!
Right.
I mean,
boy, did we have some experiences too.
Yeah, it was an interesting 45 minutes, I'll say. But we found. I mean, you people wouldn't. I mean, this is really to tell you, this can be done. I mean, and we're going to like report on every step of the way we
right.
do this, what happens, and we'll report our findings also. But. This is easy to do. We spent $25 today.
$25 on six...
Six radios.
Yeah, six...
Six beat up... I mean, a couple of them are even, like, new.
Right.
Like, we got a boombox, like one of the boomboxes.
And it really... It's not beat up. It looks like it's in really good condition.
They wanted 10 for it, and, you know, we managed to haggle her down to 7, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do.
Because we're good.
That's
you know?
What you do.
I didn't really know you did that at flea markets. You just like, okay, it's $10. All right, cool. But you're like, dude, talk him down. Talk him down. I'm like,
it worked.
I'll give you 7 for this. And he's like, okay. I'm like,
he's like, yeah.
Well, that was a real hardcore bargainer right there, you know.
Well, it made it an even 10 with the
$3
radio.
Yeah.
That little tiny itty bitty one, which was so cute.
Well, that was step one from the chain smoking stand. That's apparently what that lady did there. She just sat there. And every time I turned around, she has, you know, a lip.
She was just smoking away.
But
and
she,
chatting with us.
She's, of course, she, like, latched onto us like the plague and, like, said, oh, I got more right back. Come on back here and look around. So we're like, well, okay. So we start looking around.
So she's like, I'll give you all 3 of those for 10.
We got a call coming in here. Let's
see. Okay. Okay. Merry Christmas from Ghostly Talk.
Well, hello, Doug. How are you guys doing?
Well, hi there.
Hey.
That would be Sean Burris from Indiana Ghost Trackers, right?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call and wish you guys a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and you too.
Yeah, did you guys have a good holiday?
Oh, gosh. Did you get our Christmas card?
No, we didn't.
Well, it'll get there eventually.
How heavy is it? Is it clank or is it just cash? You know?
Actually, it vibrates.
It must.
It ticks.
It ticks and vibrates. I don't know. But no, I sent it. I sent it last Monday. So
did you?
I mean, it must be with like the 1,000,000,000 other dead letters.
They're just sitting there on the floor of the mailroom right now.
Yeah, because I also sent one. I sent one out to the folks at Chocoholic Heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? And I sent one to Deb in California. So I sent out Christmas cards.
Yeah, we have to thank her. She sent us some stuff.
Yeah. So.
Oh God, yeah.
So I mean, I sent out. I did do the deed. It's just maybe I was a bit too late. You know, is all.
Just hang tight. You'll be getting your Christmas card
hang
very
tight.
Soon.
You'll get it probably in March.
Perfect time. It's the gift that keeps on giving on year round. Huh?
It's covering two Christmases.
This is just a reminder that Christmas is coming in about 7 or 8 months. So Merry Christmas.
Hey, I want to tell you guys that my wife, Katrina, announced last week that she was pregnant.
Ah!
Oh, that's fantastic!
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Slam dunked another one. Congratulations.
That is,
very nice,
that
John.
Is absolutely fantastic. You've got a great little family going there now.
I can't believe it. One day you're looking at nudie magazines in the bathroom, hiding from your mom. The next day you're a ghost hunter, and you know, you're on the radio station with Doug and Will.
I'm still doing that. What are you talking about? I'm 30. I'm still
looking.
What's
no,
that?
She couldn't make it
she's
today.
Feeling, she's a little sick today.
Yep. She's got the flu that's going around. The my friend from one of the first two Ghostly Talk listeners, as a matter of fact,
yeah,
it would be Dan and Misa.
Yeah.
They were listening behind a single computer.
Going, what are these guys doing?
That very first night, the uncaptured show.
Yeah, remember it's the hidden show. It's out there somewhere, floating around the net, I think, but we'll never.
But we didn't capture it, so we don't have a copy of it.
Yeah,
but the,
I gotta tell you guys, kudos because last week's show was just amazing.
Wasn't that the coolest stuff to talk about?
Oh, Scott L, that was just. Man.
That stuff has that really kind of.
That's the kind of if that is legitimate EVP, which I trust it is.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like it.
Well, I had heard of instrumental transcommunication before a long time ago on like a channel, like a PBS special of some kind,
yeah.
Some weird thing before cable even happened,
right.
And I remember them showing that kind of stuff, but I didn't know. I thought that stuff all like came out of, you know, Germany and Russia and stuff like that, and it just got
with these
all,
giant vacuum tubes that just glow
yeah,
as
it,
you
and
yeah.
it just got all buried in yeah. the in the upheavals that happen over there, and so I just figured that it was all gone, all that research was gone.
Well, yeah,
but evidently not.
Okay. Well, that just reinforces the fact that we're learning like everybody else is too.
Right.
You know, with the show coming out, White Noise, we're going to start, our websites are going to start lighting up again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people want to know, and we all know this is a very real phenomena, and it deserves answers and deserves study. But what was that gentleman's name last week?
Mark Macy.
Macy?
Mark Macy, yeah.
Macy. Mark, wow. That guy was just...
It was
brilliant, man. Brilliant, man. He's open. He's very open to help anybody out with this, too. You know, that's what we're going to promote on this show a little bit.
Time I was able to have a conversation, an interactive conversation with a ghost or a voice. One time, using the bionic ear, I could actually pick up, because it was on such a low frequency, I could pick up the voice. But it didn't answer me back. It would say things, and it would answer my questions, but when I would ask it, you know, what's your name, stuff like that, it would give me different answers.
Yeah.
And it didn't last very long. So, you know, he had clips, what, 15 minutes long?
Yeah.
These were
phone calls.
Yeah, there's phone calls. I mean, they use all types of equipment on there.
There were phone calls, and they were
radios,
like an array of radios.
Radios, and then there is the spirit con device.
Where can I get that phone? I'd like to get two of them.
Well, we think we found one today at the flea market, actually.
Yeah, I think we probably found the one that...
One of the radios that we picked up today for like $2 or $3 or whatever...
It's an
analog radio, you know, the old dialer thing, but it has a telephone on it also. So we're thinking... You know, hey, and that's the lady's like, well, hey, look at this one. We're like, hey, it's got a phone on it. Sweet.
Hey guys, how much time do I got tonight? Are you going to boot me off soon?
No, you
stay as long as you want.
As long as you want.
I don't want all the rest of the listeners to go, who's this Sean guy?
No, you're famous.
Proof negative, and I'm going to ride that out as long as I can.
Sean, proof negative for us. But, yeah, no, you can stay on as long as you want. We got this radio with a telephone on it. Where I think, though, if that thing rings, I'm going to make Scott answer it.
I'll answer it.
You're going to have to answer it because I'm going to be fainted on the floor.
Nicola,
hey, do me a favor, guys. Katrina was on the stairs telling me, did you tell the guys that we're having a baby? I said, yeah. Next time you guys are in contact with your psychic friend,
yeah,
have her see if she can pick out if we're going to have a little boy or a little girl.
Okay.
That's interesting. Are you going to find out before?
Yeah, we'll probably find out before because we got, you know, you guys have been to my house. We got mountains of Devin's boy toys and boy clothes. So.
Oh, so if this is... turns out to be a girl, you're going to have to get...
Oh, man.
I expect at least a free Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
We're working on it. We've been hearing that a lot. We apologize. It's going to happen.
That's my project because I have all next week off.
Yeah.
All next week off, so I'm going to be working on that.
That's going to be getting tied up, and we're actually going to send these things out to press pretty
soon. I
can't
wait to see it in final print. Looks like you guys had a great design.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool, and I know there's been a lot of people like, come on, where's it at? Let's go.
Hey, you know what? Indiana Ghost Trackers, I'm uncertain as to the spelling, because we got our copy of Ghost Magazine, because we ordered...
Oh, man.
Ghostly Talk ordered Ghost
Somebody's
Magazine.
Somebody's
going
to get frosted on this one. Go ahead.
I read it cover to cover.
Where's the free copies, man, for Ghostly Talk?
No, Ghostly Talk doesn't get no
we,
free
We bought ours.
We bought ours. We went to the website, you know, ghostmag.com, and we entered in the info, and it came in the mail
about
2 weeks ago or three. And I read it cover to cover. It's sitting up here somewhere. I'm going to have to...
Yeah, in that pile over there.
Well, I tell you, it is a terrific magazine.
There was one spelling error.
Yeah?
In the entire magazine that I noticed. Because I read it cover to cover, and they spell ghost in Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Yeah,
they spell ghost G-A-H-O-S-T.
Ghost.
Well, you know, it is a ghost magazine and not a reader's magazine, or not a spelling magazine.
You know, we heard that last week.
The entire magazine is so professional.
Yeah, it looks
That's
great.
That's how I had talked to Chris Rod. I had sent him a couple of things I had wrote and. He still hasn't gotten back to me if he's going to use it. He said he was going to use one, but I'm not for sure if I'm going to be in the next issue or what. What was the Indiana Ghost Trackers about? What were in there for?
It was an interview with Mike McDowell.
Oh, Mikey, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mike told me to tell you guys if I talk to you, Merry Christmas also.
Oh, excellent.
Tell him likewise.
Mike and his family as well.
Everybody's so happy and cheery down here today.
Can you imagine the partying that went on in... Is it?
My house? Yeah, it was sick.
At your house? No. Terre Haute. Fort Wayne.
Oh God.
Fort Wayne, I can imagine they got together and had some kind of big Christmas.
They got
Christmas
their, all the girls are wearing their Christmas beads. Yeah.
Harriet, I'm an old man now, so I can't make all the local engagements. I can only make my 1 year banquet ceremony.
Oh.
And what a banquet that was.
Yeah. God, that was great. I'm still having nightmares from Will's, what was it? His karaoke. I forget what he was singing.
Oh, God. What were you singing?
Cold sweat.
What were you singing, Will?
He likes big butts.
Yeah, I sing Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, Baby Got Back.
Didn't you sing Funky Cole Medina that one night when we were out at the bar?
Bust a Move.
You sang Bust a Move? Hey, Sean.
What?
Don't worry, I feel your pain. Right? Because, I got drunk.
You know what,
after
I heard
that.
You telling him that you would break his hands if he touched your sister. So I talked to Will earlier. What's up with you and Scott L.'s sister? He was like, nothing.
Yeah. Well, you got awful defensive, didn't you? Yeah. Sean, what else did he say?
Yeah, be like the Godfather. Don't mess with the family.
You going to marry her or what?
Hey, well, I had some things to talk about tonight, guys, if I got a minute.
Sure, what's up?
You got saved by Sean, Will.
Well, first of all, I wanted to talk about the I'm sure you guys have heard about this. The people in Hobart, Indiana, that sold on eBay the ghost.
Heard about that.
I heard about it.
Somebody mentioned that to us. Somebody actually mentioned it to me about a week and a half ago. But you got some more details for us? What's that?
It's been a while. $6,500 for a ghost.
Somebody bought a ghost.
Mm-hmm. They bought a ghost. It happens to be a place, I believe, now I could be wrong, but it's out of Vegas, and they collect very rare items.
Okay.
And they bought this cane. I guess they had sent the cane out, and the story was that the little boy was being scared by his grandfather's ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Or his uncle's ghost or something like that, and they wanted to sell the ghost to these people. So you can't just sell a ghost, so they sold him Grandpa's cane.
Okay.
And $6,500 they bet, man. And I just got to tell you, I mean, now I've heard about people buying objects that have some kind of residual energy stored inside of them or whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know, people. Come on.
It sounds like the old antique theory, you know.
They have the haunted painting.
Yeah, that was up there for a long time.
But you know what? I'll buy a ghost for maybe $10.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I could sell to him for at least half.
I mean, because that's just, some of us got to...
I know the markup on ghosts nowadays.
I know, God.
Insanely.
Oh, it's crazy. Do you remember that thing they had on eBay that was actually selling ghosts in a bottle?
Yes. I do remember that one.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the markup is, it's... You want a ghost, I'll show. Like, we see it all the time.
Yeah, inflation. I want $6,500 every time I get a picture of an orb.
Well, yeah, we're not making any money off this, man. That does bother me a bit, but the problem is somebody actually bought it.
Yeah.
And that scares me even more.
Yes, like, but, you know, you got people selling their toenails on the eBay, so, I mean, you know, it's...
Because you know there's a big toenail fetish out there.
The market is there for toenails.
Apparently,
I mean, wow.
I got some massive ones going right now. Just clip those guys off and get them up there tonight, man.
A couple hundred dollars.
And a deluxe manicure set, huh?
Yeah, man. I haven't clipped them in a while. Ooh.
But anyway, I also want to talk about demonologists.
Ah, yeah.
And
I thought we'd get on that topic.
Okay.
Well, that was quite a segue, Sean.
Yeah,
good
thanks
job.
For that smooth transition, Sean.
Shooting from the hip here, fellas. you know, I've done a lot of... I've been in the ghost business for probably about 10 years now, and I've got to talk to a lot of great people and be on different shows, none as great as Ghostly Talk, of course.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's fantastic.
I've been on a couple of them, and I've always had, you know, good times with them. And Doug, you probably know what I'm talking about, you know, no names said here.
Right.
But I just think it's very important, and I have the utmost respect. Let me start off by saying that for demonologists and what they do. And I have the utmost respect for anybody in our field that deals with anything like this. But my concern comes to our clients, and I think we really have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Well, I, for one, started doing this because I want to know if there's really ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we all got into.
Yeah, I think that was a motivating factor for many people. I know it was for me.
Right. I can tell you already that there are, but because I've seen one once in all my years. But,
oh, yeah, yeah, and I can say 180%, and I believed in ghost zero when I started this, that there is the existence of something. And let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see a ghost?
Huh?
Where do you see a ghost? I'm telling you. It's like, dang.
Don't be driving your car either.
Was it the tap room? I was telling you guys about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The tap room. We drove by it a couple times.
And I thought, oh, this is just going to be a normal, everyday thing. And I seen the old man sitting up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's sitting there for about, I'd say, 5 seconds.
Was he translucent? Could you see through him, or was he a
regular guy sitting there.
Yep.
And it wasn't out of the corner of my eye either. I made contact. Eye contact. And it was, it probably lasted about 5 seconds.
So you guys both looked into each other's eyes then? Is that what you mean by eye contact?
I was just staring into his eyes, and they weren't black or, you know, nothing like
glowing
that.
Glowing red.
Looked like looking at another guy, and it was enough to make me stop and go like, ooh, you know, start to say, hey, man, what's up? Because I didn't know him. He wasn't with our research team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gone. So that would lead me to believe that that was some kind of a ghostly happening there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people usually don't disappear on you. So, but anyway, I wanted to talk about the demonologist.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I have the utmost respect for them, the Warrens and all their work that they do. It's great stuff. But the fact that our clients, because we do provide a service to a lot of people who call us and want to know what's going on in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just worried that I don't think that ghost hunters and demonologists are in the same group. Do you guys agree?
I'm sure there are parallels
I think they're what do they call it when two things are closely linked together or dependent on each other? They're intertwined. Codependence is actually a better word.
Yeah.
I think that what happens is that there are things that you can't see or hear, right?
Right.
And some of them are ghosts, and some of them are going to be non-human entities.
Absolutely.
And it's those non-human entities that that I wouldn't really want to interact with myself.
Well, I guess my question is, how do we determine, how are we big enough and smart enough and educated enough to determine with an open mind what is an inhuman spirit, a demon, if you will, or a regular ghost?
Well, the first thing I want to address is that how can we classify these as non-human?
Thank you, Scott.
We've discussed these many times on here, and how do we know that these, whatever these entities may be, are not some type of just regular person at one time, let's say in physical form, and they are put into a situation outside of their mortal coil now where they don't understand, they don't know what's going on, they don't understand the things they're doing on that side are having negative effects on the physical side.
Right.
Now, it may be something that we're not used to on this side, something that we don't like, something we consider, you know, a mean, aggressive sort of thing, but they may not even understand what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And that, I mean, that leads back, and when you, as you were, you know, you were bringing this up, I was thinking a little bit, and I hate to pimp them even more, but it makes me think about what Mark Macy was talking about. And actually, one of the articles Mark Macy wrote on worlditc.org, I have with me for you guys to look at tonight, too, by the way. It is the actual, he lays, it's called The Spiritual Roadmap. And basically, it's the five levels of what we are and where we go. And obviously, we have the physical realm where we're all at right now, as far as we know. And the next level that you'd go to, like when you physically decease on this, you know, when the body, the core, you know, the storage tank, we call it, that's what you'd refer to it as, is no longer usable, and what's left of you leaves, that goes to the quantum plane. Okay, and that's the next level. Now, the quantum plane, and this is from reading this paper a little bit, it was very educational. The quantum plane is where you do have these particular dark pockets, so to say, they call it, of people who are not exactly happy. They're confused and they're angry. And that's where you have that negative sort of sense that comes off.
Right.
And I've been thinking about what you said, actually, before you even mentioned it tonight, going, okay, we do have these beings who once were human beings, and maybe they were bad people in life, too, and now they end up in this place. They don't know where they're at. They have no idea what's going on. They're confused, and that obviously confusion a lot of times makes people angry in return.
Sure, very.
Uncertainty is not a thing that a lot of us want to deal with, you know. And that's where I would think, you know, the question I would have, and I hate to answer a question with a question, is, well, how do we know it's a demon?
Absolutely.
Let's remove the whole Hollywood aspect from this completely and go, how do you really know that this thing is a demon, a little red guy running around, you know?
Right, let's go all the way back to The Exorcist and let's erase time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do know we have a phenomenon, but I think we're kicking ourselves in the butt as researchers. trying to be as scientific as possible and trying to find the facts, if we step into a person's home and say, you know what, the flower pot just moved by itself, it's a devil, it's a demon.
No, it may be someone, it may be just someone going, hey man, I'm right here, can you help me?
Right.
It could be anything. I'm not saying that that's where it is, definitely.
But guys, I've seen it from both sides of the fence. I was raised Southern Baptist, and if you guys know anything about it...
Well, everything's a demon for those guys.
Huh?
Everything's a demon for a Baptist.
Oh, God, everything's a demon. If you smoke a cigarette, you're going to be a demon.
Oh, yeah, I've been subject to that before, too. So.
Religion, because I, you know, I have my own faith and beliefs, but I just, that's why I've really gotten out of church, and good or bad that may be, I just feel that what's between a man and the higher power is between that person and the higher power. You don't need a middleman. You don't need a church or anything like that.
No, you should. I mean,
see, I think that's an evolved state of thinking.
It's a completely evolved state of thinking. And a lot of the contemporary Christians, like people like, I'll give you a perfect example, my barber. He runs a group called Street Quest. I kid you not.
Better be careful, Scott. You have a mullet, man.
Yeah.
mohawk.
Now, yeah, well, he's already suggested that a few times. No, I'm just saying.
Sounds like a cult.
No, really, it isn't. Okay. Franco, my barber, who's a sweet guy, he's a wonderful guy. I've talked about him numerous times to you guys with the school, with his daughter, and everything like that. He actually started a group called Street Quest because I found this out about this gentleman. He used to be a preacher back in the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he walked away from it. He said the same that a lot of us said. You know, this is crap. I don't want to deal with it. But he went all the way to the other side and said, I'm done with this. Nothing. I don't want to, no, this, none of this exists. This is all garbage. I don't want to deal with it. But then years later, he came back to it and said, you know what? I think I'm approaching this the wrong way. I think I shouldn't have walked away from it, but now I'm going to try to do this the right way now, and that's why he started up Street Quest.
Right.
I'm not supporting this in any way. But what the idea is behind this group is that it is a personal relationship. If you want to have a relationship with a higher power,
yes,
it should be a personal relationship.
That's right.
You shouldn't have to have this cult mentality where you have to follow the herd, you know, just because it's on the 8th day of the 7th month of the 6th year of the 14th apocalypse or whatever. Whatever's going on, whatever the moon's doing that day. This cult mentality is the biggest problem, and we've discussed that many times on the show, that you got to think for yourself, bottom line, when it comes to this kind of stuff. And that's what these guys are trying to promote now with Street Quest. It's a personal relationship, all right, man? And they want to get, and the best part is they want to give it to you street. That's what they say. We're going to tell it to you street, and we're going to tell you...
Right.
It's a
and, you know, the one thing I want to make clear, Scott, and everybody, is that I'm not putting down religious at all.
You're right.
At all, because I'm religious in my own way.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting down or downplaying demonologists or anything like that. But I took a poll, and I've been researching homes now, like I said, for about 10 years. And these places I go to, if they're from a Christian background...
Mm-hmm.
You're more apt to jump to the conclusion that it is demonic presence in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And it is evil, and it should be pushed out of their house. My question is, of course, if I've been in that home for 100 to 200 years and you bring a priest in or something and tell me to get out of my house, well, I'm going to move some shit around. You know, I'm going to throw some stuff around. I'm going to be very angry. Now, I know I've heard the stories about the people getting scratched and bit and stuff like that, but that's still... We cannot find a base. We cannot draw conclusions from that to say it's demonic.
And how do you know, let's just talk about scratching and biting and kicking and pushing.
What does it say in the Bible, to bring that up? What does it say in the Bible that demons bite and scratch and claw and move for
It sure? Says nowhere there. I can tell you that with full certainty.
Yes, sir.
People can read into whatever they want, but it don't tell you directly, demons scratch and bite and kick you.
Yeah.
Said the Lord.
Well, fortunately, fortunately for us, for the world, there is more than just the Christian Bible, and in particular, in this case, there's ancient Indian beliefs, and I don't mean Indian like American Indian, I mean India Indian,
right?
Ancient Indian beliefs. Is that your sitar noise?
Yeah.
Good one.
To sample that in for you.
Cool.
Okay, and some Buddha stuff.
And what happens is that, and of course I think the Babylonians as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had very highly developed
systems of
demonology.
Mm-hmm.
And you can study those. And what the difference is between, like, an inhuman being in the afterlife, or one of these demons, I should say, and a ghost is that a ghost had, you know, at one time at least been, you know, a human occupying a human body and a mortal, and demons of course are sort of by definition immortal.
Yeah.
So they don't exactly, you know, inhabit our bodies at any time.
But what are you basing immortality on, though? That's a thing. I mean, when you say immortal, based on certain systems of belief, we are all immortal. It's just because, I mean, if you want to base it on Einstein's belief or his theories.
They are deities. They are gods in and of themselves. They're just, you know, different than the one that you worship as well. So, or the many that you worship, depending on your beliefs. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily worship them, although they used to ask them for favors. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to use these demons, we call them, as we use saints, or as our culture would use saints. You know,
right.
But the Indians,
which of course is anti-Christian, but the Christians wouldn't tell you that.
The Indians also worshipped animals in the same manner, though, too.
Saints for favors and stuff.
Yeah. Well, the Indians worshipped the animal in the same sense, though, too. And the only reason I bring that up is because I actually was doing a little reading last night on the Indian cobra, which, you know me, I'm a snake buff, right? And they actually have what they call cobra stones in India that a newly wedded couple, when they want to bear a child, if they're having problems bearing a child, for example, they would go to ask the great, because the cobra there is worshipped like a god. They would go to the cobra stone. They would create their own cobra stone and spread pilaf or some type of rice mixture all over it.
Yeah.
And they would ask this great being, this amazing creature, to help them be fertile so they could have a child.
Right.
And that's the same thing. You're asking this god of some sorts
for
a favor. Hey, can you help me out? Let me slam dunk one here. You know,
right.
I don't
think though. I can't imagine them actually believing that the actual physical cobra is the god.
Maybe in this day and age. Maybe in this day and age, yeah. I agree. Nowadays,
no, I don't even think in back then. I think they would have believed that the cobra either had a spark of a specific demon.
Yeah.
You know, a little spark of that demon. Maybe the cobra was the favored, you know, being, living being of the demon. Or deity, I should say.
Yeah.
And so maybe it had a spark of that deity, and they're basically, you know, worshiping that deity or you know, invoking that deity by, you know, this particular ritual involving the cobra and the cobra stone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the actual physical cobra itself was, you know, necessarily the deity.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
The spark of the deity. A little itty bitty bit of that deity in it.
There's so many multi god religions out there. You know, there's so many.
You guys know when the white man came over, right? We brought a new religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a lot of these Indian Native American beliefs and stuff, they have their own beliefs thrown in with New World religion, like the snake, the cobra. The snake, of course, in the Old Testament is symbolic of Satan himself.
Well, yeah, that's why they're so revered as these evil animals even to this day. I mean, my grandmother, my Baptist grandmother, who I love dearly, don't get me wrong, she might be listening right now because she's here in town, oh, I'm so dead. She is definitely...
Call my grandma.
She's definitely afraid of snakes. I mean, she's really scared of them. And, I mean, she's always been that
way. Well, I'm scared of spiders, but that doesn't...
You're not scared of spiders. You are definitely, like... You have arachnophobia.
I probably do.
Yeah, you do.
You have arachnophobia.
Well, no, I have an issue with what they want to do.
And they do seem to come at you, too. Like, that one literally came from the ceiling. It was coming... It was coming down on you.
Latter-day Stroll and forget your name for a half hour when you see one.
He ran up the stairs full speed.
Screaming like a little girl.
Yeah. We're going to get beat after the show. We're getting a beating for that one.
I remember Bonnie having to slam on the brakes in Indiana.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So
you're scared of spiders, though. That's the point.
I am
you're
a
scared.
Little scared of them, yeah.
My grandmother's very afraid of snakes. And I do believe that comes from her raising, and that what Sean said, that the serpent, let's just say, because there's all types of different snakes out there. The serpent is revered as this sinister, evil character. Because yeah, the Bible says this, that Satan did come in the form of a snake.
But I think we've taken this discussion and we've intertwined two different things, because Sean also mentioned Native American Indians, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're, from what I recall, they're issue with animals and the reverence they place on animals,
yeah,
while it's you know related to their belief system,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that they thought the actual animals were gods. They thought that the actual physical animals were part of, you know, being part of nature,
mm-hmm.
were part of the whole thing, and being part of the whole thing, you worship the whole thing, so you know you can admire with reverence these animals, or
oh, yeah.
this particular animal, or that particular animal, and it's part of the whole thing. So I don't think that they even thought that it
yeah.
was a specific deity,
yeah.
for example.
Right.
Sean?
Right. I think it comes down to respect. The same kind of notions that the pagan religion has. Everything around you is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Animals. Different individuals, and that's really a good belief structure.
It's a very good belief structure. I think more people should
abide
by it.
And that's how I teach my son. You respect everything.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes down to, I mean,
off the bed, I say, no, don't do that. You know, you got to respect animals and respect your elders yeah. and all that good stuff. But what I was talking about with the demonology,
mm-hmm.
I just don't see where it is beneficial to walk into a home and research a phenomenon and come to the conclusion, being a man or a woman, being a human being, that this is a demonic force.
Well, the fact is that none of us will ever know for sure.
No.
In this life, we'll never know for sure.
There's certain tests and rituals you can perform
yeah.
to determine whether or not this is this activity is happening because of a demon.
Yeah.
You know, ancient sacred rituals, mm-hmm. ancient sacred
and how much weight do those ancient secret demon remedies have, you know, how much weight do they hold, really?
Well if there's a demon away, I'd
that's
go
what
for
they
it.
Say, and that could very well be, but if you guys have listened to me over the times that I've called in, every home that it seems like that I've been in, and I'm not discouraging having a preacher bless your home if it makes you feel better, but every home I've been into, the activity's either accelerated after an exorcism or a purification of the home, or it just stays the same. So I just don't see where that's beneficial to have something like that happen. But of course, except for the human factor. If it lets you sleep better at night, that your home's been blessed, and, you know, of course, your religion, you want to have your home blessed in each room and dedicate your house to God, like your children
mm-hmm.
were born or something like that. I just think it's beneficial to us as humans to know in our mind that, hey, this house has been blessed. God knows, you know, he's wanted here in this home.
Well, have we even thrown in the human factor into this yet? Now, you say, Sean, that the homes that you've been to, that it seems that the activity has seemed to accelerate after an exorcism of some sort.
Well, what's interesting is it doesn't, especially if it's a demon.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if it's not a demon.
Okay.
Then, of course, going through and blessing the home, and you've got, if what you have then is a former human occupant.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that former human occupant, according to even the belief system of the homeowner,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, some kind of Christian-based faith,
yeah.
Even that former human is one of God's children.
Right.
So you're not necessarily scaring away a ghost with a blessing and an exorcism, you
yeah.
know, that kind of thing.
Well,
you're
not
scaring them away with that kind of
I'm
stuff.
I'm thinking these things just make you ultra-sensitive like we are.
Right.
You got an everyday person who has a house. And then they start hearing funny things. We don't know if they're ghosts or if it's the ground settling or if it's whatever, pipes, I don't know.
Well, I think the power of suggestion goes so far, Scott.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying about our clients. If I walk into your home, Scott Allen, you don't know anything, but there's TV's been floating around the dining room by itself, and I tell you it's demonic, you're going to think, okay, well, this guy must know.
Yeah, you're coming from you're coming from a stance. I'm calling you going, okay, you're part of the Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Right.
Obviously, you have a degree of expertise in this. You know more than I do. So, based on that, I'm going to trust you to a certain sense. Like, okay, look, and it's like you just said, if there's something in your house, well, if you guys come to me and say, look, we've done what we do here, we've done the investigation, from our point of view, there is something in your house.
Right.
Or, hey, you know, from our point of view, you have a demon in your house. Well, right there, in my opinion, if I don't know any better, it's going to make me ultra sensitive. Every little sound I hear is going to be that damn demon.
Yeah, and every time you walk into a dark room in your house, you're going to think you see Satan smoking a cigarette.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean,
so, yeah, it's all power of suggestion, and that's the line here, guys. I thought it was an important topic to get out.
Really, it is. It's really interesting. The number one thing I suggest for that, and I know you know this, Sean, but for people out there, and I know we've discussed this before too, is if you're going to investigate someone's house, let's say you're part of Bob's Ghost Hunting Group,
yes,
and you've been commissioned or contracted to do someone's house, the first thing you do for these people, and firsthand, we know this because we've been through it. Hey, look, we're going to go in here, take pictures, take audio, do all kinds of fun stuff. We're going to have all kinds of rituals going, you know, just joking around, but we're going to have all kinds of stuff going on, right? And if we come up with something, you're going to see
naked.
It. What's that?
We're going to chant naked.
Yeah, we're going to get naked in your living room and have, you know,
Unum Shibai. Unum Shibai.
Yeah, there you go. That's Will. That, yeah, see. We're going to do all this stuff, though. Really, we're going to take pictures, we're going to take audio, we're going to do all these things, and if we find something, you're going to see it. If we don't find something, you're going to see it.
Absolutely.
If you see something, so can you handle that? That's really what it comes down to. Can you handle this? Can you hang with this? If we say, hey, look, we got a pretty wild photo here we want to show you, right?
Right.
And now all of a sudden, this is what the thing that frightens me the most about this is that we go to someone's house and do this, and these people, before they were like, it's something just walking around, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then we tell them, yeah, we think you got something here. Now we verified, right? We verified this with them because we're the professionals. Professional can never be anything with the ghost hunters, but the professional said that there is a ghost in this house. Now this person's like, oh my god, this is real. There is a ghost in my house, and that's not easy for a lot of people to swallow. In my opinion, I know a lot of people can't handle that.
Right
now, you know these people are selling their house. I don't want to be responsible for that personally. I know the guys down here don't want to be responsible for that either. And I would feel, or they freak out. I've heard of people freaking out too. Like they just couldn't handle it. Right?
That's so weird because I'm the opposite. I'd be like,
well, yeah.
I want that house.
Well, yeah, because we're from a completely different standpoint.
Like I said before, guys, we're not putting down demonologists.
Not at all, no.
But, and, you know, like I said, I have the utmost respect for what they do. But I guess at a certain point, and I've only been on one case where a energy, ghost, whatever you want to call it, was actually not attacking but making contact, leaving marks. On the arms, legs, scratch marks, stuff like that. I'm at a loss for words.
Well, it seems that something like that is a lot more active than this. Well, we have Eunice White walking across the cemetery every
right.
year.
Yeah, we go there.
We go there every year, and we usually, if we're not kicked out by the cops,
you know. You know, when I was 13 years old, what got me? Do I have a second here?
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, I went to a Baptist church my father had took me to, and he was a head deacon in the church, and he was involved with all the stuff. And we had a missionary that would come in all the time. His name was, we'll just call him Mr. Y.
Okay.
Dude, having a baby here. Mr. Y would come in, and he would travel around the world, him and his wife, and mm-hmm. I guess you could call them old school demonologists. And he claimed to have seen demons in people's homes, sitting on rafters, and all kinds of these ugly, nasty, disgusting images that he says that he had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this now because I talked to my father, of course, when I was older, and he explained to me what Brother Y told him. So I remember one night I was present in the back of the church. Everybody had cleared out, and there was a woman that said she felt that she was possessed. And this is maybe where I started my ghostly escapades. This is where I got involved with the spirit realm. And he asked the lady to come to the back of the church after hours, so she did. And I remember I was there with my dad, and she'd sat down in a chair acting very normal. And Mr. Y said, I'm speaking, and this is just out of the Exorcist movie, I would like to speak. He almost put her in like a hypnotic kind of thing. You know what I mean? At the very
trance sort of state, yeah.
At the very beginning, she was sitting in the chair, and he was counting backwards from 5, 4, and he said, I would like to speak to the entity that's inside this body, that's inside this woman. And I have to tell you what I seen. And I did see the woman's eyes roll back white, and I did hear her voice. I'm not going to say it was a man's voice. I'm going to say it was a woman's voice talking like this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It could be modified by anybody under hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
and did say that it was a spirit and that it was wanting to stay. And it's so, you have to forgive me, man. It's been so long. But I did witness that.
Yeah.
And he apparently was able to cast this demon out. So I thought, wow, you know, this is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And then the older I got, and when I went to college, I studied the history of religions, different types of religions and stuff like that. And I started asking questions. You know, how do you base the power of suggestion is so strong, especially in the hypnotic stage.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have to hypnotize this woman? Or put her in like a trance and relax. You know, I don't understand. If there's a demon truly there, you would think it would come out and spit right in your face.
Well, that's what I would think, too.
Well,
I mean,
first of all, I have some issues with that story.
Oh, boy.
And
I'm going to go get something to drink now, Doug. Go ahead.
The major issue I have is that, first of all, that's a very psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just put somebody into any kind of trance or relaxation or hypnotic state and then start poking around and perhaps inadvertently convincing them that they're possessed.
Absolutely.
She very well could have been suffering from some kind of personality disorder.
Yes.
And just the fact that she was convinced that she was possessed does not mean that she was not suffering from some very real, correctable, analyzable and correctable malady.
Right.
So I don't necessarily agree that the proper way to treat her would be by a demonologist at a church.
Oh.
I think the proper way to treat her would be to get a complete psychological profile of the woman, and if then it was indicated that they needed a demonologist, then you go find yourself one.
Absolutely.
I really don't think that they approached that particular case in the right manner.
I do not.
Because that is neither scientific. That was all entirely faith-based, and wrongly so. And they needed to determine if this woman was really sick.
I agree 100%, and that's how my father felt. And I think that's what led me to start investigating this thing, these happenings, these phenomena on my own. And I don't, like I said, I have no hatred towards demonologists. I believe that they serve their purpose well. But I refuse to, and I cannot believe that everything we come in contact with is demonic. Or there's a large percentage that what we come into contact with is demonic. I will not believe that. What I will do is research a phenomenon for what it is. If you have a flower pot that moves from point A to B by itself every night, I'm going to study that flower pot and make my predictions and draw a conclusion on what's making that flower pot move. That will help the ghost hunters from a scientific standpoint, rather than me saying, it's the devil smoking a cigarette on your bed, good night, thank you, I'll be here all week. You know what I mean? I know I'm kind of dumbing it up here, but, you know, I went to college too, and although I don't have my doctorate in demonology or whatever they have, what I have is more important than any degree or doctrine you could have, and that's the power of free thought and free will.
And you have experience, too.
Absolutely, I have experience, and that's exactly what everybody always used to say. Well, you got to go, you got to experience it for yourself. Well, okay, folks, now I have. So where do we go from here? I still haven't seen anything that came out and spun her head around and said, I'm the devil.
None of us have.
And I refuse, and I know I get kind of heated up about it, but I just, it's not helping us.
No. It isn't. I agree.
No.
And
90% of them, Scott L. and Dougie and Will and everybody, is, and I hate to say this, people from the Christian community, which, you know, I believe in God myself, but people from a strong religious background, they call a demonologist. People that are like us, that believe in God, whatever, but they know something's happening in their home, they call a ghost hunter.
Yeah, well, that just ties into the same mentality. And I mean, I'm gonna put this as lightly as possible. Okay. When you're talking about people from the Christian community, the Christian background,
right.
I don't know, I really don't know a nice way to say this without getting shot. I'm going to get assassinated as soon as we walk out of here.
It's true what you're going to say.
this type of shutdown mentality, there's no other word besides the word of God, which is, you know, some people, that's fine. I mean, everything I'm going to say, it's all my opinion. But I've always noticed with people of that sort, because I've been coming in contact with them even more frequently, it seems, that, so what do you do? Well, I study the paranormal. Well, so you study
the
ghosts.
Devil.
You study ghosts, right? Well, yeah. Well, you shouldn't question the word of God. That's what comes out of everyone's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not questioning anybody's word. I'm studying this. I'm not trying to, even though I do believe in questioning authority in a lot of senses, and God is an authority figure, I'll agree. I'm not questioning the word of God. Doug isn't questioning the word of God. Will isn't questioning the word of God.
Oh.
We're trying to learn and trying to grow. Some of the most spiritual people that I personally know, have never stepped foot in a church. And these are the calmest, most in-tune people you ever want to meet.
Absolutely.
And they have no cult mentality. I'm not... Yes, I am. I'm in there... They have no cult mentality. They don't feel like they have to move with the herd.
Well, if you happen to mention to folks who react that way to the paranormal topic, if you happen to mention...
Nail them, Doug. Nail them. Nail them hard. I know what you're going to say.
I've done it before.
It's beautiful.
If you happen to mention that just because their minority religion believes that there are no ghosts and that God is the only one, et cetera, et cetera. Just because their minority religion believes that doesn't mean that that's how it is all throughout the entire world and universe.
Absolutely.
And when they're faced with a fact, like thrown at them, that their particular religion is the minority world religion.
And that is a fact.
They are not in the majority. They are in the minority at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a white Anglo-Saxon male and or female in a 35 to 55 thousand year old $1,000 a year job. They might be the most normal people on the planet,
mm-hmm.
or at least in our region, I should say. Take a cross section of the region and say this is the norm. This is what most people are. Right? They might be in the majority in everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Christian, you're in the minority.
You are. Fact, and that's a fact.
And that is a fact. You are not in a majority religion.
Exactly.
You do not believe the same things that the rest of the world believe. And
it's important to have a faith. Like when I go into an investigation or something, I'll say my own peace with my creator or whatever. That's for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't spread that on anybody else.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
That
goes back to what we were saying before, though. It's a personal relationship you have.
You have to do that. You absolutely have to know that you are not alone when you're doing especially this kind of work.
Yeah.
That you're doing it, for personal goals, but for as well as spiritual goals for the entire planet. So what happens is you do have to ground yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to remind yourself before and after a hunt or an investigation, you have to ground yourself and know that, I'm not alone. My creator, my
Very
God,
important.
Or God.
Like last summer, Doug, we always run these little festivals, and we'll set up a booth with information packets about the ghost trackers and try to build up our clientele and give them out information about what we do and show some of our pictures, so on and so forth. Last year, we had to set up some of the girls from the Terre Haute chapter, and they got bombarded with little tracts, the little pamphlets that say you're a sinner or whatever. some of these folks actually think that we're looking for demonic items because we're ghost hunters and because they don't believe in ghosts. They believe the Bible.
Sure you are. You're looking for all types of things. That's just one little piece in the puzzle. That it's an idea that's been created at some time or another.
Yes.
It isn't the focus of your work.
That's my second theory there, or my second topic. We can't just stop with good things. We walk into a home, we have no idea what's going on. What are we studying? Are we studying demons? No, we're not studying demons. We're studying a phenomena.
Yeah.
And trying to find scientific means that will explain why this is happening.
Yeah, exactly. It could be evil. It could be. When all the guys down here, I'll ask you, when we all went on our first hunt or investigation, there is this feeling of uncertainty.
Yes.
That's not comfortable. You don't know what's going to happen to you.
Like prom night.
I knew what was going to happen on prom night.
Ooh!
I had that stuff taken care of.
You sprung for the limo.
I closed the deal on that one early. No.
But he's pink tux.
But there was this degree of uncertainty. I know I had it. I know myself I had it. I'm sure you guys did too.
I can barely remember my first ghost hunt.
I know I can. Mine's vivid, very. But the point is that you need to make that step. You just, if you were just to go, well, this is, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to play it safe and not do it. Well, in some situations, that's a good decision to make. But to make the first step into something like this, it is a matter of facing your fears. And I hate to bring his name up, but Aaron Donahue did say that. That's one thing that he said that stuck with me is you need to face your fears. You can't walk away from your fears. You need to face these things head on, and that's how you learn.
Right.
And that's why we're doing this show now.
Face the spider, Doug.
Face the spider, Doug. Face the spider.
No. Well, I had read a book one time, and he said that, well, actually, it was something by Joshua P. Warren that I told you about, How to Hunt Ghosts. And this is a book I read a couple years back, and he said he went to this woman's house in Louisiana that had a haunting or something happening. Well, what she explained was she heard every night footsteps coming down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in, he set up equipment, and that's exactly what he got. The sound of footsteps coming down the stairs. Nothing else. So in the end, what does he have? Does he have a demon? Does he have an angel? Does he have a ghost?
Sounds like residual haunting to me.
The footsteps coming down the stairs.
That's residual haunting.
It could
it's
be
absolutely nothing. I mean, I mean that's something. It's
something. Definitely,
it's very exciting, actually.
Oh yes, very.
But I mean, when you compare it to a demon infestation, you know, I mean,
I don't know what to say, guys. I was going off on my rant and raving about this, but I just don't see where it's beneficial to us as amateur scientific ghost researchers to start putting tags and labels on things.
No, it's horrible. I try not to do that anymore. I mean, that's how you learn. You have to kind of categorize things in a way to learn. We've done that a lot.
I understand residual haunting, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the forces of good and evil and things like that, who are we to...
Well, a flower pot moves. What the hell is that?
Yeah, how do you base your... How do you draw a conclusion on something like
that? What is that? I mean, and the best approach is what you said, I think, Sean. Take it for what it is and go on that.
You can just... I mean, the thing is, when I present the things that I have seen and done, I always say, I have seen this, or I have done that.
Yeah. God,
I have witnessed this.
A demon didn't do this.
I have a photo of this. I witnessed that. I took this photo. I took this EVP.
Yeah,
I did this.
Exactly.
You know, I don't ever say, you know, there was a demon there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know.
It would be very easy for you to do.
Well,
hey, oh, I've seen a demon, or I feel like this is a demon, and 90% of the population out there would say, okay.
Yeah.
They would go buy whatever you told them to buy: crucifixes, garlic.
And that's the problem right there. I'd like when we the few presentations we've done. I love it when people ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask the questions. Question what I'm saying because it's going to help me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you also. If you don't agree, that's cool. Why don't you agree? Tell me why. Oh, I don't agree. Okay, why? Tell me why. Maybe you're going to give me a new idea here.
Right.
They crisscrossed. I mean, if I had to lay out a tree structure of the things I've learned, it started at I like ghosts, right? And then it goes out, and look what we've done in the last 3 years here. I mean, we have went everywhere with this, and there's so many ideas, and it's difficult. It's hard, man, to try to differentiate all these things. And really, when it comes down to that, the thing, and that's what I know here. I've been going, okay, look, we have all these different ideas. How do they relate? What's the glue here? There's got to be something that's making these things all work.
That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the actual what is making it all work. Because I think it is all part of a bigger whole.
It is.
I think that these little observations, this you know, the ghost at Myrtle's Plantation, the ghost light we saw with Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I witnessed that light. I can tell you, and I don't know.
I got to tell you, there was no pin light group that night.
I don't know if it was a demon or if it was a ghost. Or if it was swamp gas, I don't even really care because what I'm telling you is I saw the ghost light.
Yeah,
there's something creating this phenomenon.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
What's the glue?
What's
the glue here? What's going on? What's
right? And if we start putting labels on things, saying it's demonic, leave it alone, then we're going to go back to the biblical times. Where people—I shouldn't even say biblical times. But we're going to go back to the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that actually has happened. That has happened, because I keep talking about this book that I've been reading and have read. I got from John, The Parapsychology by Renee Soudre, the report, the annual report of the proceedings of the, I don't remember if it was the Warsaw Anyway, it doesn't matter. They, the you know, trait de parapsychology by C.E. Green, and this was the English translation because I can't read French. And so what happens is they used to do this kind of stuff. Like, for example, they would get they would place ads in paper. If you think you're possessed, you know, call us. And then what they would do is they would do a complete psychological profile.
Yeah.
Before investigating, you know, further. They'd say, thank you, you're just a fruitcake. So we're not going to accept you for the program. So thank you very much and have a nice life. You know, good luck. But, I mean, they would weed out their subjects and things like that. They really did a scientific job. That ended, as far as I can tell, in the 60s, except for World ITC. I mean, they're not doing it on human subjects. They're doing it, you know, with equipment.
Spirit teams.
And,
let me ask you
know.
Something, Doug and Scott L. Will. Yeah. How was Mark doing these experiments? I heard a little. I mean, I listened to the program.
Yeah.
It was kind of confusing as to how he conducted it, other than he used a phone and these things would call him and he had to be pure of heart and clear-headed, which is all good things.
That's the number one thing right there, though, what you're saying. I mean, the problem we have in this world today with a lot of things is there is so much animosity and confusion and anger that you can't focus on anything a lot of times.
Right.
I mean, that goes for just being on this physical realm. If you're able to assemble a team of people to work on this, or even yourself, this can be done by yourself. And that's why we, you know, we're talking about this project today, for example. You know, and we got the radios, we're good to go, we're happy. And I'm like, I think we got a lot more work to do.
Well, we know.
We need, I mean, even though we love the hell out of each other down here, I mean, we're our brothers. I mean, I love you guys. You know, we're bros down here. We're tight. We're good friends. We work well together. We have to all sit down and go, okay, guys, you know, what do we need to do to make this thing happen now? Or see if it's going to happen. We may not get any results at all. We're prepared for that.
Maybe like a meditation or something. I don't
know. Well, that's part of it.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. Heart meditation is one of the approaches
they use. We're going to have to learn that with each, you know, together.
Before we even plug these radios in and try to record anything. That's the number one thing right there from, you know, what Mark has told us, from what we've, you know, we got. That's what I got out of it from the discussion we had before and after the show, too, was that, you know, that's the most fundamental thing you need to have. When you clear that, and you open, what he says is that there is a confusion and that anger and that mistrust there, it clouds that window. It clouds that signal.
Right.
If you're able to clear that out and open up the chain of communication, that's where you'll get results.
Right.
And that's the number one thing really right there. And really, I mean, there, I'm sure, if you actually go to the site, Sean, there's going to be, well, I'm sure you've been there already.
Yes.
And the site. Well, I've always found a rule on the internet. Any site that has its own search function in the site usually means you have a lot of content to go through. And worlditc.org is one of those sites that you just really, I mean, it's organized well. Don't get me wrong. It's organized very well. But there's so much stuff on there that you really, if you want to, you know, find some techniques, and there are articles in there on techniques for ITC, how to do it. How to set it up, approaches you can have. They're in there. And I can actually point you there too, Sean.
And those
go if you want.
Further than outside of what we use with white noise and your standard EVP recordings, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, there's so many different approaches, you know, and we've talked about, well, you need silence. Shh, quiet, we're recording EVPs, quiet. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting EVPs, right?
Yeah. What was that?
Nothing.
You guys, this is a great time for a break.
Yeah, I'm gonna get fired, guys. It was nice working with you guys. And no, it's my phone. It's my phone.
Yeah, he went with that same. Yeah, that same freaky ring.
Is that a horrible ring or what?
You got singular?
No, that. Don't be pimping the phone companies on here, man. Let's take a break. Sean, hang on the line, all right?
Sean,
we got a lot to talk about.
Line.
Hey, guys.
Hang tight. We're gonna I'm sorry, guys. My phone. I don't know how to turn it on vibrate, okay? It's a brand new phone.
Okay.
It's a brand new phone.
I'll forgive you this week.
I'm sorry.
Hey, let me do it. You're listening to Ghostly Talk.